I'm Peter Vincent.
I'm Mister.
And I'm Severin.
Which makes this Lethal Watching.
The nights they creep, eyes like death. They walk to you, my friend, oblivious to the horror. They grow closer, fear is spreading, death is approaching. For tonight, my friend, we are Lethal Watching.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I want to suck your blood.
One, two, three, I bloody love the Muppets. Hello, Lethal Listeners!
Hello there.
Howdy.
I thought we lost Jared then.
Again.
Again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh shit, Jared's alive!
He's alive. Crap. What happened there?
Yeah, how are you alive?
You guys tell me. I just kind of woke up on the slab about 5 minutes ago, and I don't really remember what happened.
I think it's because a full moon occurred, and it turned out that you weren't actually Gerard, but you're actually a member of the undead.
Ah,
I thought you were going to say he's like a were-Gerard.
Or what you should have done is you should have sorted it out in the style of a Marvel comic superhero. I was either a clone. I was either a Skrull.
Yeah.
I'd either been zapped into some sort of time warp thing like Batman, which is DC, but you know.
The point still stands.
There could have been anything. There could have been a number of reasons.
Well, it's still fluid, so why not let that happen too?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Excellent. And let's hope no other gun toting zebras walk into the podcast recording shed.
Not this evening.
And take you down.
Because I'm recording this on my phone, so hopefully it will be better.
Got a little glimpse behind the Lethal Watching curtain there.
Cheeky.
Yep.
That's steady. Yeah, so what are we doing tonight? What's going on in the shed?
Tonight.
What's going down?
The vampires.
The stakes are high.
Oh!
Boom!
The bag all week.
God damn it.
Enjoy the fish.
The vampire fish.
I don't want no vampire fish. God damn it.
Did you listen to the end of the podcast last week, Jared? Obviously, whilst you were dead.
I did.
Did you agree with our stance on films?
Yeah.
There's no points you want to raise from last week.
Nah, you guys pretty much covered it all. You're quite good.
Oh, thanks.
You got it sorted.
Thanks. Yeah. So this is the second of the Halloween specials we're doing. Vampire films.
Vampire films.
It's not a top five, is it? It's just five we want to talk about, and then the rest.
Five we want to talk about for various different reasons.
Yes.
Which are?
Doing a third one.
Huh?
Are we doing a third Halloween special? Doesn't really.
Oh no, because when this one goes up, it's like Halloween, and then that's it.
That's it. This is the
ultimate Scaretober special.
I'm very looking forward to the Christmas one.
Oh, Christmas is going to be awesome again. And I'll just say as well, at some point we're going to have to do like a Dead President special.
Oh yes,
because that thing is driving so many views to the website. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, I don't understand why it's so busy.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
We get a lot of dirty people trying to look at our website.
No, they just put Dead Presidents.
What was that weird one?
A girl in wheelchair after sex.
Yeah.
Is that from a film that someone has talked about?
I don't
about?
Know. I tried to do the web search myself, just, you know, on a purely experimental basis. But just to see what page it brought up, you know, just to see what it brought up on the website. And I couldn't find it. I went down to, like, you know, page 30 of the search results. Couldn't see it. Don't get it. But today, it's like nearly nearly the best day for views ever, just because of Dead Presidents.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand. So my kind of my thoughts are, if we do a podcast about it, then we'll get loads of listeners on it. Yeah.
So where do we slot that in?
I don't know. When's it President's Day?
Some American day.
Yeah, we'll do it for then. Until then, vampires.
We could do it when the next American election.
Oh! Is it next year? Next year?
Yeah.
I was going to say, well, we could do it if we could find somewhere like Abraham Lincoln's date of death.
No, it could do. Well done, Mike. Bringing it back to vampires, because Abraham Lincoln was, as we all know, a vampire hunter.
You
see, that was all my intention.
Have you read it?
I've got it upstairs. I'm about halfway through it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Good. Vampire Hunter. He's making a film out of it.
He's bad, man.
Produced by the dude who did Wanted. Is it Timar him. Be good. But anyway, vampires.
It's lethal watching!
Vampire.
So, we're doing five films.
We'll just blast through five.
Yeah, but I'm thinking...
people can talk about other stuff.
Jared has seen more than we have.
Yes.
I am super awesome this week.
Yes, you go first. Okay. You, me, you, Jared, Martin, me. No, you. Yeah.
What?
But just go, Jared, go. Okay.
Well, I'm going to talk about the film that I really wanted to talk about, which is it's probably the most recent film, I'd say.
Go on, then.
Stakeland.
Screaming, I'll break your neck, you get me? It did. The sooner you could use it, the better. There's nothing to be done now but kill that thing.
Now, this is about a land about steaks.
It is a land full of steaks.
America.
America, indeed. This film, I think it's only a year or so old. I don't think it was released in the cinema over here. I think it was released limited in America. Yeah. And I think it is now out on DVD and Blu-ray everywhere, and therefore you really, really must get it.
Acquire it or buy it?
This is by the same people who made Mulberry Street, which I have done posts on and talked about before.
Is that the one with the crazy rats one?
The rat zombie film.
You like that film, don't you?
Which was then... I'm glad they didn't decide to rename... because it got the hideous rename of Zombie Virus in Mulberry Street. So I'm very glad they didn't just rename this
Vampires. That sounds amazing.
Vampires Living in Stakeland. Or something. It's stupid. Just to make it really blatantly obvious, you know, the zombies in the film, let's call it Zombie Virus on Mulberry Street.
All makes sense to me.
Yeah, but when it was just called Mulberry Street, it had a bit of class.
Honest.
A bit of class to it, but anyway. Get you. It's basically, I suppose, if you're gonna classify Stakeland as anything, it is basically The Road-ish, but with vampires.
Fair enough.
So it's not quite as... I mean, The Road book is one of the best books I've ever read. And The Road film, I love The Road film. But The Road film is so depressingly depressing. And so pervasively...
depressing film is depressing.
It's so pervasively down in the dumps that in fact, the book actually...
What were you expecting, though? Were you expecting it to be like a musical version or something?
The book is very heavy going, but in the book, you get more of a feeling of the hope and kind of, you know, that they could get through this and they're going to make it. And there are more hopeful moments. I don't know how else to describe it. Whereas the film is very sort of just very intense all the time. But I love But this is not quite as intensely intense. Intense film is intense.
It's an intense film.
It's a depressing film. Is depressing and intense is intense. This isn't quite so bad. And this is a bit more probably. This is definitely more of a vampire-y actionish sort of film, but mixed with The Road. Essentially, the United States. It's post apocalyptic. Everything's gone. It's very much afterwards. The vampires are out. The vampires in this are very much more sort of probably zombie. They're not your classical vampires. They look pretty rank and rancid and, you know, sort of decomposed and stuff.
Yeah.
But they look awesome. They look really, really good. And basically it's about this young kid whose family is killed, and he basically falls in with this guy who's just called Mister. And Mister's played by Nick D'Amici, who plays the main guy in Mulberry Street, who is just super awesome in Mulberry Street because essentially he's an ex-boxer and he runs down the street punching zombies in the face.
That's your favourite thing in the world, isn't it?
It's brilliant. It's just running down, he like tapes up and then goes right and off he goes and zombies run at him and he's just like bop in the face and then he just runs on. And in Stakeland, he's also super awesome. He's just bopping the face and on he goes. And in Stakeland, he's also a pretty mean dude. He's pretty amazing.
Does he pop a vampire in the face?
He does. Do you know, if you were to describe him, he's basically a harder core, less funny version of Woody Harrelson's character in Zombieland.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe him. He just goes on. He basically kicks ass and takes names, and that's it. And so he falls in with the kid, and he sort of, it's about him and the relationship and training up, but also along it's the film is actually more about, again, like The Road, probably the bad things that men do in these sort of situations, because there's this cult essentially called the Brotherhood, who are like a militia group, but they're all sort of very Jesus-y and nasty.
Yeah.
And then they meet this nun, what happens is this nun is getting attempted to be raped by one of these Brotherhood guys. I don't want to spoil the whole film, but I'll just tell you about this bit. And then he kills them. Mister comes across it and basically kicks their asses in an amazingly awesome, super duper way. And
how awesome!
It's off the charts awesome. And this puts them in sort of the sights of the Brotherhood. But it goes on. They get captured. They escape. Blah, blah, blah. But the whole film is just it falls off the rails very slightly towards the end. And I don't want to spoil it as to why. But it just there's a bit where it just kind of it doesn't make sense. Will I spoil it? I don't
know. Go, just spoil it.
Yeah, do it.
Essentially, the main guy, if you want to watch the film, listeners, do turn off for the next 5 or 10 minutes and come back. And I'm sad that I'm spoiling it for Phil and Martin. But the main guy of the Brotherhood is called Jebediah, and he's a bit of a dick. And they leave Mister out in the middle of this field with these vampires. And you don't know what happens. You think Mister's dead, but he isn't. He just basically somehow he kicks ass and gets away. But Jebediah, he ends up getting bitten by a vampire. And towards the end, they're kind of on their way and they make their way out and they're heading to Canada because Canada supposedly is there's no vampires or some reason. They're heading up there and they start to get picked off one by one on the way. There's sort of a group of them because they pick up a couple other people. And you find out very stupidly near the end that it's actually this Jebediah guy who for some reason is becoming an intelligent vampire, because all the vampires up to this point are basically like zombies. They're stupid. They're feral. and for some reason he's a smart vampire, and it doesn't really make sense in the context of the rest of the film.
It doesn't
explain why is he smarter, why, because he can talk, he can think, you know, it's kind of like it's just because.
You've not seen it like previous like in the film, so
they wanted
zombies like that, so it just comes out of nowhere.
It's just kind of like, it don't make sense. We want to make it a bit more, the stakes a bit higher, so we'll give them a smart
higher.
Stakes
a bit higher.
Not intended, but well. And essentially, the Mr. dies, which is pretty sad. No, he doesn't die. You think he's going to die, he doesn't, but he leaves. He basically just leaves. For some reason, he just decides to leave.
Yeah,
and
he leaves
the kid with this girl, and they head off to Canada. And it just ends like that. But it is a great film, but towards the end, it did ruin it slightly for me. But it's kind of the remarkable thing about this and Mulberry Street is they are essentially indie films made on incredibly low budgets, yet are far better than pretty much most of mainstream stuff that has come out, probably with to do with zombies and possibly vampires within the last sort of 10 years, maybe. Yeah. And it's just a great, great film. And I think the guy, Nick D'Amici, deserves to be a big, he really, because he's so hardcore in the two films I've seen him. He's such a badass. I would love to see him being more of a badass, but more people being able to see him as a badass.
Like in a Transformers film.
Yes, I mean, if he was the main character in Transformers, well, why not? Do you know what? I don't even want to get started on Transformers. When will Hollywood realize it's not Michael Bay, it's the Transformers they're going to see? Fuck him in the bin.
I was gutted that the rumor of Transformers and Jason Statham wasn't true.
Yeah, do you know, they just need someone else to do it. People aren't going to see it because it's Michael Bay directed.
Jason Statham and the Nibbling people, you know, the crank fellas. There's your film.
Awesome.
There's your film right there.
But Vampires, Stakeland, brilliant film. Everybody should watch it. I've kind of spoiled it for a few people, but it is great. By the way, the nun in it is played by Kelly McGillis. So...
Of Top Gun fame.
It was Top Gun, yeah.
Does she fly a plane in it?
No, she doesn't. She's a nun who gets raped. One of the best sequences, completely forgot about this, in Stakeland is they come across this town. It's like a little kind of trading town, and it's all walls and it's all built up. And the Brotherhood, because they're a militia group, they're like an army. So they have, like, for some reason, I don't know, they have helicopters and shit. But essentially, they fly over the town and drop vampires into the town from the
vampire bombs,
and all hell breaks loose, and it is brilliant. But there you go. The film has too much kick-ass moments, and everybody should watch it.
Okay, then I might acquire that.
Please acquire. No, please buy it.
Okay.
It's indie, low budget, and they need the cash so we can see more of it.
I'll acquire it then, but properly acquire it, not just acquire, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
We only acquire things which are shit or things which aren't available.
Well, I'll tell you what isn't shit and is available. It's my vampire film, Near Dark. Shut up, Martin.
You don't seem to like me in the dark. I don't get it.
Well, let Phil go first, and then...
Yeah, let me explain why I'm right, and then we can discuss why Martin is wrong later.
You know, I hope your explanation for why Near Dark is good is just going to be a name, and that's it.
What? Would that name be one Bill Paxton?
Yeah.
Near Dark. Near Dark is a film with vampires in it. A vampire western. Yeah. Which I believe was the first film directed by future Oscar winner Catherine Bigelow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Late 80s, kind of 1987, so just after, what's it called, Lost Boys? And it's another kind of slightly serious vampire take. Basically, you've got Nathan Petrelli starts in the film as like a young fella in some small rural town. And he meets a lady. Sorry, he meets a lady. just kind of hanging around outside a bar. He has a chat to her. They go off driving together. They have a nice evening together. You know, it's nice. They have a nice night together. And then at the end of the night, she realizes she's got to get back home. He says, no, before you go home, you got to give me a kiss. She gives him a kiss, and then she bites him on the neck. Off she goes into the distance. And then Nathan Petrelli then is trying to get home. Sun rises, and his flesh begins to burn. What the hell's going on? His flesh is burning. And then a big, motorhome thing kind of pulls up alongside him, gets kidnapped inside there with the windows all blacked out, or basically like a hillbilly family of vampires that the girl he was with is basically part of. And he gets told he's a vampire and you're with us now. You're part of the family. And that family is Lance Henriksen as the kind of patriarch of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Hooker, I believe his name is, which is a great name.
Mm.
And then his part is like a lady called Diamondback, who's kind of his love interest. There's, I think, like a young boy, like 12 or 11, called Homer, who's basically, you know, he's been a vampire for years, so he's like an old man in a young body. And then there's Bill Paxton, who is just crazy. Mm. If you imagine Hudson from Aliens, but as a vampire and slightly more psychotic. That's the character, and it's Bill Paxton going crazy and taking over the entire film. So then Nathan Petrelli then is trying to fit in with the vampires, but then his family's trying to rescue him at the same time, and then he kind of leaves. Then all kind of things happen. The police are closing in on vampires because they're just basically going around killing people, setting fire to things, beating up people in bars. All kinds of crazy shit's going on. People are catching fire, and it all ends in a kind of a big climax.
Mm.
Which, again, I don't want to spoil it, so I'm not going to...
I think we should.
Talk to you. You think we should spoil it? Okay. Yeah. There's a very stupid thing, which I think is part of the reason why Martin doesn't like it.
Yeah.
In that there's the family trying to rescue Nathan Petrelli, and he then gets rescued by his father, who then gives him a blood transfusion, which completely cures him of being a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
So then it becomes human Nathan Petrelli versus the vampires... And then all kinds of things happen. They all get wiped out. And it basically ends with the girl being rescued and given a blood transfusion. So she's no longer a vampire and they live happily ever after. Which does wrap things up in a nice little bow. Probably a little bit too nicely.
Bow of bullshit.
Oh, here we go. Come on then.
Right, okay. I've got to say, there was one good bit in the film, and that is, if you're eagle-eyed, you'll notice they walk by a cinema, and that cinema has on display Aliens now showing, and I thought, oh, that's nice. So I thought that's a nice part.
Yeah, because you've got Bishop in there, you've got Hudson.
Yeah, exactly. The whole changing over. When vampires change, the only way that they can be unchanged is when you kill the head or lead vampire, which changed them all, in effect, the head of the vampire family, which would you'd think would be the boy, really. So that's the only way.
He's not really in charge, though, is he?
No, but he's the oldest, so you kind of expect him. And that would have been a nicer thing if they did it so that once he had died chasing after the girl, they all died as well.
No, that's stupid.
That would have been a better ending.
That wouldn't
really.
That wouldn't.
Yeah, would. And also, that wouldn't. How come May jumped out the car before the little lad, and yet the little lad blew up in flames long before May even started smoking?
Because that was a cool shot. You mean you've got the kid, like the 12-year-old kid, running down the street on fire, and then
May
he explodes.
Got out first and was jumping the same distance.
Oh, she was in the shadow or something.
Oh, bullshit.
Because she's, because he's smaller.
Yeah. But what I really like about this film is, like, you know, when the vampires go out in the sun, it looks so painful. When they catch fire, they properly catch fire. There's a great bit when they get kind of surrounded in a shack and the police are blowing the hell out of the shack with their guns. And Nathan Petrelli makes a run for the van to get in there to rescue him. And he's, like, got a blanket over him. But, like, he catches fire and his face is all burned and his hands are burned. And he's trying to get to the truck, but his arms are on fire. And he gets into the truck and he's on fire. It's crazy. Mm. There's some great fire effects in it. If you're a fan of people being on fire, this is a good film to watch, I'd say.
There is something else as well, though. It's a bit what? Where, you know, the bit where Nathan Petrelli goes out on horse to actually go and rescue his sister?
Yeah.
He knows full well that they are vampires. He knows full well that they are stronger than him. So does he actually take anything to protect himself with or to arm himself? No, he just goes out on a fucking horse without anything.
He took a horse.
What's he going to do, talk him to death?
He took a horse with him.
And that was pointless.
The good horse could ride over them. Hoof him in the face.
What a shit.
Hoof. Vampire. Hoof.
I think.
How do you know it's not got, like, crucifixes on the hoofs?
Boom.
Yeah. How do you know?
Because that horse wasn't cool.
How do you know?
I know that. It wasn't a cool horse.
Oh, man, you're so horsist.
I am.
See, the blood transfusion thing is pretty shit, and I think it doesn't ruin the film, because I think the film is a great sort of slow burn vampire western, as you say. It's not that anything particular, apart from the odd occasion, nothing. It's not that anything particularly major happens. It just kind of simmers along. You know, for most of the film. I mean, the wee kid is very... The whole sequence with him finding his sister and all is very creepy.
The kind of guy who plays the kid's really good, isn't he? He's really kind of unsettling.
It's very creepy, and it's very creepy the way he sort of is talking to her and the way he's getting on with her and the way he brings her in to watch the TV and all. It is a very creepy sort of sequence. But, and you know, I think Bill Paxton just being a complete loon is amazing.
He goes craziness.
And just being Lance Henriksen, because essentially he's just being himself, but with as a vampire.
Yeah.
And as Phil says, the whole fire blowing up and going on fire sequences and everything, it is good. Definitely the blood transfusion thing is silly. It would if they even tried to explain it in some sort of way.
Well, it doesn't go too far into the vampire myth, does it? It doesn't kind of get bogged down in that kind of stuff, because they're just, you know.
But then it's kind of why would they suggest it? Why would a blood transfusion necessarily just work?
Oh, because it does.
You know what this is equal to? This is equal to diamond skin.
It's not that bad. It's exactly not.
Diamond skin is hideous. That's all I want to hear about it.
No, we've got to discuss that later.
Those abortions of films, let us not talk about them.
It's nowhere near as bad as Diamond Skin.
It's on there.
It's not on that scale. Not even in the same track.
It is.
It's not. Not in the same
box. I don't think anything's as bad as that.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong there, Martin.
I'm not.
You are.
This is a terrible film. I didn't like this.
You know what? When was the first time you saw the film, Martin?
Last week.
But potentially, this is one of those films that you need to have seen, maybe growing up or something. I know it from growing up. But Phil, is it something you've only seen recently?
I watched it, years ago, and then again recently went for this. So I have, you know, prior memories of it. But it's a great film. Bill Paxton, Lance Henriksen. They've never been in bad films.
I'm sure never. William Lockhart has something to say about that.
basically fuck him, because he's wrong. It's good. You're wrong. You're wrong, Martin. You're wrong.
No, I'm not.
Well, we'll let the Lethal listeners decide if they think, you know, depending on who's right.
Yeah.
They can email in and say who they think is right and wrong.
I'm
going to win.
Let us know why.
Yeah, I think I'm right.
Bullet points.
Why so specific?
Because I don't want to read like an essay, do you?
No, I don't actually. Fair point. Bullet points. Lethal watching at aboteducation.com on who's right. But we all know it's me. It's me.
Excellent. Me. So who's next?
Jared.
Oh, is Mark?
Jared, me, Jared, Martin, Jared.
Okay, it's you again, Jared.
Fucking hell. what was I going to talk about next then? Was I going to talk about Fright Night?
Let the Right One In.
Was I going to talk about Let the Right One In? Well, Let the Right One In, I'm sure most people...
We're so organized, brilliant.
I didn't know I was doing so much.
Just go. Well, yeah, we've not seen anything.
Okay, well, Let the Right One In, I think a lot of people know. It's also a more modern take on the
But
vampire.
Which one are you doing, Jared? Are you doing the American or the original?
I've not seen the American version, Let Me In, so I'm doing the Swedish version.
Look at you.
I have heard, I know some people who actually despise Let Me In. They despise it, but I have heard that. From other people, that it is very good if you do not take it as
I kind of know what you mean.
It is so hard. I don't know. You know, remakes and redos are just such a hit and miss part of filmmaking that there's just no one's ever gonna be happy. You know, no one has ever got, because everyone's going to have a film they love that's going to get remade at some point and they're going to despise it. Whereas other people are going to have no real emotional or any sort of investment in an original. And when it's remade, they'll be fine. I like the Let the Right One In, but I do not have, some people seem to have this film as
special.
Like the be-all and end-all of vampire films. They seem to have it as just the greatest thing that's ever come out of Sweden beyond the Swedish Chef. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's those two things, isn't it? Yeah.
But it's Jürgen Flurgen Durgen Durgen. Do you know? It's not special.
Oh, he's so racist.
So, well, that's what the Swedish Chef does. Blame the Muppets.
Oh, that's true.
The Let Me In, I think, looks pretty good. And I think they've tried to change it, but I don't know. I will watch it at some point, but...
You're going to require it.
Let the Right One In, I didn't actually see for quite a few years after it came out. It I always wanted to see it, but it didn't come across me. But
I've still not seen it, Jared.
Well, there you go. You should.
So
it is
good. Why should I? Tell me, why should I? Well, why should I bother?
It's another modern vampire film. Which it's always nice to see, because pretty much horror or main horror films for a lot of the last number of years has been dominated by sort of zombies and things. So it is interesting when you get some vampires in. And this film is essentially, the whole catch of this film is, like Near Dark, there's a very young vampire in it. And it's about a little boy called Oscar, who is a friggin' nutter. He is messed up. This kid is freaky. And it's no wonder he gets the shit kicked out of him all the time. Because he is an odd one. You know, he like goes out and stabs, you know, trees with knives and things. He's just, and he's just an odd little chap. And that's why he sort of, he meets this vampire, this little vampire girl who appears. And she's sort of a bit, she's a bit weird too, because she's like out in the cold in her bare feet. He's all wrapped up in hat and coat and shoes and boots and everything, and she's running about in the cold in her bare feet, and it's all very sort of odd. But they kind of become friends, and she only comes out at night, and it sort of, we know what she is. We know she's a vampire, and she's kind of moved into the same, it's like an apartment block. It's, there's some sort of, in Sweden, they're essentially like council estates or something. It's like these sort of buildings that are all put up in a square, and so in the middle there's like an open area, and they're kind of like council estates, and they've moved in, and you basically learn very quickly that you know very quickly that she's a vampire, and basically people start to die, and then it all, you start to find out that her father, in inverted commas, is not actually her father. He is a man who, like Eli, she has known since he was a young boy, and now goes about killing people for her, because essentially the father is in love with the vampire. Yeah. So it's all very weird and sort of, you know, very off. Essentially, the whole film, you get the impression she's grooming Oscar to be his replacement, essentially, and Oscar is more than happy. Basically, by the end of the film, Oscar's there. He's down with that. You know, he becomes her replacement, because the father gets caught trying to kill someone, and he gets, I can't exactly remember. He ends up in hospital somehow. I think he what actually happens. I can't remember, but he ends up in hospital, and essentially she kills him. She calls to the hospital and throws him out the window, or he jumps out the window. So he dies, and essentially then she needs someone to replace
to fill in for him.
But she bites. There's all sorts of other things going on. She bites this random woman, and she starts to turn into a vampire. And there's a very weird, freaky scene where these cats of a friend of hers all start to react to her and start to attack her. But she basically realizes what's happened. She's in the hospital, and she knows what's going on, because she starts to get thirsty for blood, and sunlight starts to hurt her. And there's a very cool scene where she's in the hospital, and she asks the orderly to open the blinds. And basically, as he opens the blinds, she just goes whoomf, up in flames. And the flames sort of are all going up the wall and over the ceiling of the hospital room, and it's a very cool sequence.
Yeah.
But it's all very weird and very odd. Now there's an amazing scene where Oscar, they basically come after Oscar later on, and they invite him to one of the kids pretends to be his friend and gets him to come to the swimming pool, and they start to basically beat him up, and they push him under the water, and they try and drown him. And the next thing you know, you're still under the water, but you see basically things happening above, and a head just falls into the pool, and an arm just falls into the pool, and then the next thing, Oscar gets pulled out, and it's the vampire Eli. And you know, he just sort of looks around, and you see all these things, you know, dead bodies everywhere, and it's a very cool sequence because of the way it's shot from under the water. Now there is a major twist in this film. Do you guys know the twist?
No.
This is major spoiler alert, and this is the big thing that I wasn't sure whether this is in Let Me In, and it'd be interesting to see if it is in Let Me In. Because in the girl vampire in this is a very sort of androgynous girl, black hair, pale, thin. Now Eli keeps talking about things, and throughout the film, you're gonna know what I mean when I say it. Eli keeps saying I'm not a girl, and you think she's saying I'm a vampire, but you actually find out she's a boy who's been castrated.
Oof.
It was a very, very quick flick sequence where you see that she's got stitches. She's been castrated. You can see the sort of the scar where that she used to be. So it's all very, you know, from the point of view of it being quite a sexual sort of film.
Yeah.
It's all very odd and strange, and there's an elderly man who loves the young vampire girl, but is actually a boy, and Oscar sort of falls in love with the girl, but it's a boy. So it's all very, you know, it's the whole sort of twist in it is just sort of it's like a second, it's like 2 seconds, and it sort of just happens, and that's it, and you're kind of just sitting there, what the fuck, you know, and
what the fuck. The
reason I'm interested to see if Let Me In has it is because the vampire in it is clearly a girl. It's the girl who played Hit Girl in Kick-Ass. So it's not quite as, she's not quite as androgynous or as
boy-like.
Yeah, boy-like. So she's clearly a girl, and I don't know whether they've took that in or. You know,
Do you want me to tell you one way or the other, Jared?
Yes.
Do you want me to tell you? According to Wikipedia, the film also admitted the subplot involving her ambiguous gender.
So there you go. So they've took it out. And that I think that's why a lot of people hate Let Me In, because for a lot of people, that's the kind of the crux of Let the Right One In.
Yeah.
Very fleeting couple of seconds moments where you go, oh my God. You know, it's just kind of... It's just, and you know, so I think that's probably why a lot of people hate Let Me In. I'll still watch it because it's interesting to know, but that whole thing is just very, the way it's just dealt with is just very sort of, it's just very matter of factly, but everyone should watch it because it is, especially if you like vampire films, because it is a very good vampire film. But again, I don't hold it up into the amazing high regard that so many people seem to do.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to, you know, really want to watch it all the time or, you know, say that it's the best vampire film ever, which a lot of people I've heard say, you know, this is the best vampire film ever. So, yeah, I don't, it's, yeah, it is good, but it's by no means for me the best vampire film ever.
It gives good vampire, though.
It does give good vampire, and it looks amazing. The way it's shot and everything about it and the scenes and the way it's set up is amazing. And, you know, it's actually quite beautiful. It's sort of, you know, set in this snowy landscape. It's always very, the snow is always very crisp and white, and the sky is always very dark and black. And so there's quite a real sort of... look to it, so you know it is very, very a very good looking film. But again, it's just not the best vampire film ever. It isn't.
Hmm.
There you go.
Hmm. Well then, next vampire film then. No, it's not. It's Martin. Ha ha.
It's me. Oh, hello.
Ha ha. Screw you. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha. Sorry.
Yes, well, the film I'm going to be talking about... Boo! Yes, that's right, it's Fright Night.
Ooh.
Tonight's the night for frighting.
Indeed it is. So, obviously, this I'm going to be talking first off about the 1985 film. I think last night week's about the remake. But yeah, so the 1985 film starts off, it's all about the lad, typical American teenage boy, you know, Charlie. He's got a nice teenage girlfriend with him, and he's got a dick of a friend called Eva Led. Then one day, he finds out that he's got a new next-door neighbour, who he doesn't see at first until late one night, and he sees him through a window with a lady, and he then sees fangs on him, and he sees her bite his neck, so he starts thinking, hello, this man's a vampire. Doesn't think more about it until the next day on the news, when he recognises the women as being murdered, the same women who he's seen in the house. So he tries to get the police involved, but obviously gets laughed out by them when they say when he says that they're vampires. So instead, he tries to go to an expert on this matter, and the expert that he goes to is an actor by the name of David Vincent, who portrays this big vampire killer. So he says, okay, he'll come around with them, we'll get them to get the supposed vampire to drink holy water. If he is indeed a vampire, the holy water will affect him and we'll be able to tell. So anyway, they go up to see his neighbour's house, and the neighbour obviously is clearly aware of Charlie, the boy's intentions and what exactly is going on. So anyway, he drinks the holy water, but everything's fine. So Charlie starts to think, hold on, that's just tap water, surely. And Peter Vincent's like saying, no, this man is just a man, he's not a vampire, let's stop wasting his time. And then on the way out, Peter Vincent is looking himself in the mirror when he notices that the next door neighbour doesn't actually have a reflection, so he is indeed
hells.
A vampire. So they scarper out, and from then on, the next door neighbour wants vengeance. So he kidnaps his girlfriend Amy and says for him to get Peter Vincent and return later that night, otherwise you will never see his girlfriend ever again. And the rest of the film is about them going together to get the vampire. And I don't really want to spoil it anymore because it is an awesome film. It's a classic film. You've got a brilliant cast there. Rodney McDowell playing the veteran actor, Peter Vincent there. Thank you. And of course, the actual next door neighbour, who is called Jerry, is played by Chris Sarandon, who is actually Susan Sarandon's husband, or it was at that time.
And there's also Prince Humperdinck.
Indeed, in Princess Bride.
Everything goes back to the Princess Bride, doesn't it?
Indeed.
Always does.
That's obviously 1985 right now. I've not seen the newer one, but I want to tell you about that because in the newer one, obviously, Peter Vincent is played by the extraordinary actor and amazing person, David Tennant.
Oh, here we go.
He's amazing. He's fantastic. And I think that would be an excellent choice for him. And I would really like to see him. And I also think they've actually done a good choice as well with the actual lead vampire. It's Colin Farrell in the new one.
He looks quite scary in the trailers as well.
Vampiric. So, I think that's... I'd say that's the only thing with the original one.
Yeah, the vampires in the original are very distinctive looking.
Yeah,
they have a very they're sort of the only vampires I can remember that look like they do. Whereas Colin Farrell in the new one, from what I've seen, I think he maybe does change, but he looks more just like a vampire, like a human person. But I think he might do some sort of transformation. But they have very distinctive mouths when they become vampires.
I would have actually gone with a slight different tact. I would have said that. The actual casting wise for the vampire, I think if Jerry Dandridge was a more popular actor at that time, someone who was more recognisable, I think this film would have been better because obviously it would have had that star quality. I don't think Chris Sarandon really had that star quality to really bring it in. Whereas Colin Farrell obviously is quite a star in himself, so everybody does know who he is. So that's how I feel about that. And supposedly as well, there's been a sequel to the Fright Night as well called Fright Night 2,
Fright
where it's his sister.
I've never seen it.
I've not seen it. Apparently it's his sister who gets involved and wants
vengeance. I've heard it's pretty crappy.
I won't be surprised. Won't be surprised. But,
it's a very 80s film, Fright Night, isn't it? It's just
it's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, the fabulous soundtrack, first of all, and then you've got a brilliant effects as well for the vampires and when they're extinguished. Some brilliant scenes there. It's good, isn't it?
Well, it is good. Yeah. 80s classic.
80s classic, this is Fright Night.
Oh, but is it as good as Near Dark, though? I don't think so.
I think it's
better. For me, that's a tough one. I think for pure entertainment factor, Fright Night probably wins.
Yeah. Got no Bill Paxton, though, has it? Hasn't got Bill Paxton.
Night is a very entertaining film, whereas Near Dark...
isn't.
And we'll leave it at that.
Uncalled for. All right, on to the last one then. Back to Gerard.
What the fuck? is it?
Yeah.
Making you work, bitch. Nosferatu.
Shit, what am I talking about now? Is this Nosferatu?
Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
Can I just say I've not seen Nosferatu 1.
Nosferatu, I think, is pretty much widely regarded as the first vampire movie ever made.
Well, I would have thought so. 1922? It's got to be, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a silent 1922 movie. Nosferatu is essentially the name of the Dracula. Apparently it is an adaptation of Dracula. And that's why, but they changed the name. It was unauthorized, and so that's why it was called Nosferatu. But it is Nosferatu, for being the first vampire film, is probably one of the scariest.
He looks messed up.
It is a freaky deaky film. That probably comes down to the fact that it's a German expressionist film.
It's right in that period, isn't it? The kind of is it the Metropolis around the same kind of time?
Probably, I think around that time.
Kind of weird Max, silent movies.
Max Schreck, who plays Nosferatu, I must look to see what Max Schreck looked like in real life, because in this he is freaky. Everybody has probably seen at some stage what he looks like. It's kind of that classic image of him. With his hands folded over and the pointy ears and the pointy nose and the big teeth and the bald head. And then there's the sort of the shadow coming up the stairs kind of sequence. It's very much a classic sort of vampire film. He's sort of biting the neck of women as they lie in bed, and he's in a coffin, you know, he lies in a coffin, sleeping during the day and whatnot, and there's a vampire hunter and whatnot out to get him. But it's the reason it's so momentous. It's just probably because it is one of the first, and because it is so freaky at times. It really all comes down to the vampire and how he looks. Apparently, actually, his name's Orlok, which I didn't realize. His name's Count Orlok. And it's just the way it all comes down to him and how freaky he looks. And I don't know if people have seen it. The film that was made based on the making of this.
Oh, the Willem Dafoe film.
Willem Dafoe, yeah.
Such a great idea, yeah.
Shadow of the Vampire, where actually... It's a funny sort of film. It's supposed to be about the making of Nosferatu, and what they say in this film is that that the actor Max Schreck was actually a real vampire.
Yeah, there was no makeup. He actually looked like that.
That was him, and that the director knew and hired him because of the realism for the effect of actually having a real vampire in the film. And it's Willem Dafoe actually plays him very, very well and does play him very creepily. But, you know, go look at pictures, even just go to Wikipedia, put in Nosferatu and look at the picture of Max Schreck as Count Orlok. He's horrific.
Yeah, I remember my dad saying this film really, this was the film that really scared him when he was a boy.
He is,
and it's terrifying. The shadows and stuff are horrible.
He is scary. He is a very, very scary vampire. And you know, I haven't seen the film in such a long, long time. But it's not. I don't want to say it's scary, but it there is something just very unsettling about him as a character, because he looks very real. You know it, and when you think that film Shadow of the Vampire, where they're saying he was a real person, you kind of almost believe
it's believable.
You look at it and you could go, "Oh my god, this guy is a real vampire." He looks authentic, and I think the fact that the whole thing that adds to it is the fact that it's so old and grainy, and you know it has that old silent film sort of flickering to it, you know, it just looks like you're watching somebody videotaping a vampire,
yeah,
you know, going about his business, and it is just horrific. And for me, I do actually think when I think of vampires, yes, you think of your Christopher Lees, you're very much your Hammer vampires with their big collars and their capes and things like that.
Or like the Bela Lugosi vampire.
Yeah, they're Bela Lugosi. But if they had a, and you understand why they did that, because vampires then became very much more the sexy sort of, horror
sexy vampires.
It became about, it all became about the sexuality attached to vampirism.
Yeah.
When you watch, I don't know, Phil, you were originally going to talk about it, the Dracula film.
Oh, Bram Stoker's Dracula. Give it its full title, thank you.
The first time you meet him, where he's very much a withered, sort of corpsey sort of thing.
Yeah.
And in Dracula, the book, he's very much a withered sort of corpse type thing. You know, that was originally what they were thought of. You know, they were
rather than the sexy vampires.
Silk wearing, cape wearing. Suit wearing sort of
Brad Pitt. Guys.
And if they had it seems to have come back a bit more that vampires are monsters recently, but for a long time they weren't, you know, they were sort of just men with teeth, but I prefer them as these sort of
technically aren't you a man with teeth?
What?
Technically aren't you a man with teeth?
Well, yeah, but mine aren't deadly.
Pointy.
I'm deadly.
Say that to the lamb you ate.
I didn't bite his neck off. I didn't kill him raw and then eat it afterwards.
Whatever you say, Jared, whatever you say.
But I would say Nosferatu, it just really sticks out purely because of the fact that it's
the visual design of it.
Yeah, yeah. And
he's not a sexy vampire.
He is not a sexy vampire. He is a freaky diggy vampire.
Sure, he's not sexy? Not even a little bit?
Not even a tiny bit.
Alright, fair enough.
Not even a twinge?
You're a twinge.
Touché.
Indeed.
So those are like five ones we want, like big ones we're just kind of highlight. But yeah. I don't know about you, but I had lots of other vampire films written down.
There is a crap ton of for all
There's
our
loads of vampire films
for all our trouble trying to come up with a number for the werewolf one. There's just no shortage of vampire films.
There's loads of them. I mean, I'd obviously written down the Monster Squad.
We're the Monster Squad.
Yes.
Yes.
Because the vampire now, he's a good vampire. He gives good vampire. You've got to admit that.
Yes.
He's a good vampire. I like that. And I'd say I do also have a soft spot for Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Really? I find it such a snoozy, boring, dull-ass film.
I know Keanu Reeves is so horribly miscast in that film, it's just painful. But see, the look of the film is gorgeous.
I don't like that film at all.
I don't like it
because I feel that all the effects, it's like, you know how if you try a new computer program with special animations for the first time and you just try and cram every single effect into it, that's what Bram Stoker's Dracula feels like, because they cram in every single different kind of effect and it just appears a mess.
But all those effects are practical effects. There's no computer effects in it at all.
They're not needed.
But like the bit where there's like a train going past a book, they built a giant book for it and stuff. I appreciate that.
It's not needed. It's like the bit where Keanu Reeves goes to take a drink and the bottle starts dripping up. Why? What's the point?
Because
of
that? It looks funky. It looks freaky.
It's not. It's a mess. It's a mess. And it goes back to the whole links with sexuality. This film just... Cause
it's a bit too sexy.
It's a bit too much. The whole vampire...
I'll give you that.
Sexiness. The whole... It's meant to be alluded. It's meant to be presumed or certainly hinted at. You don't actually get to see it. But this one actually goes full-blown, and I think that's unneeded.
It's a bit too sexy.
Yeah. Do they not actually make him like Vlad the Impaler in this film or something?
Yeah, that's the origin of the Dracula myth.
That is supposed
myth.
To be the origin of Dracula, yeah. Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad the Impaler. So they are kind of historically accurate in that kind of side of things. And, you know, Gary Oldman's in it, you know? You got to love a Gary Oldman film. And also the video game was decent.
The video game was decent.
I don't think it was, actually. But it's that, I think, Bram Stoker's Dracula, and I think a couple of years later there was an interview with the vampire. That's the kind of sexification of the vampire, the whole kind of Anne Rice-y kind of, oh, I'm a vampire, I'm so androgynously sexy, I just don't know what to do with my eternal life. And, yeah, that ruined vampires for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to lay that out there.
And I think there might still be ruined. Well,
Anne Rice has got a lot to answer for, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's because we're not going to talk about those other abominations.
we've got to mention Twilight.
Abominations.
We've got to. Because it gets vampires wrong. You know, vampires don't shine like diamonds.
What? If it even got vampires right, it would still be up. They are the most painfully dull, boring films.
I know, Jared. I know. I believe you. I understand what you're saying. But also, there are parts of the film where, like, you know, you see vampires punching each other through concrete walls, and you kind of think, why is this not cool?
Why is it? I don't know. It's
you know, you've got, like, an army of werewolves fighting an army of vampires. Why is this not cool? Why? Why?
The bad thing is, though, is that we've seen vampires done properly against werewolves and all that kind of stuff. That
Monster
was
Squad,
during
clearly.
The time no, of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV series, and that's brilliant.
Well, you know? If we're talking about TV series, there's only one vampire TV series that did it right, and that's Ultraviolet. Has been ruined by the film that was later made called Ultraviolet. It has nothing to do with Ultraviolet, the TV series. And Ultraviolet, the TV series, lasted 6 episodes and was unfairly just, you know, cut away at the knees when it was doing really good, was a fantastic film, TV series. And yeah, if you've not seen that, you really need to watch that because it's one of the best British TV series of the last 20 years. Have that.
Well, I did have two others written down, actually.
Don't care. I'm talking about Ultraviolet.
I'm going to talk about something which was horrifically missed out, and that's something that Jared did point out slightly in the Nosferatu, and that's the Hammer horror films.
Yeah.
More specifically, Horror of Dracula, which is just a fantastic film. If you've not seen it, I do recommend you see it. Christopher Lee, obviously, as Dracula. Peter Cushing as Van Helsing. And Michael Goff, who is obviously best known for being Alfred, the butler for Batman. He's also in it as well. And the thing is, no one puts on any accents in this film. They all just play it as the proper English kind of thing, proper well-spoken. But the effects are brilliant as well. Just to say it's in a 50s film, the effects are really good. And there's like a bit towards the end, obviously, where the Dracula gets disposed of. He gets burned up in sunlight. Exactly. See, yeah, you know the words that I'm using, extinguished and disposed of. Well, then he killed him. The way that he died.
I'll try to improve my vocabulary next time.
You'd expand.
Okay, now.
But the way that it was done really well. And I think those effects still stand up to this day, really.
Yeah.
Still an enjoyable, watchable film. And there was one other film, which was, right, let me just describe it for you, okay? Space zombie vampires.
Life Force.
Nope. Star Trek First Contact, the Borg.
I will not sacrifice the Enterprise. We've made too many compromises already. Too many retreats. They invade our space, and we fall back. They assimilate entire worlds, and we fall back. Not again. The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther. I will make them pay for what they've done.
Oh,
shut up.
Yes.
No, denied.
Space zombie vampires.
They're not vampires, are they? They don't drink blood, do they?
They have like nodules that you inject into your neck so that you can make
Space zombie vampires is essentially the film Life Force.
Which is I remember that being
Toby Hooper and stars Jean-Luc Picard. Well, he doesn't star him, but he's in it.
close enough.
And it's basically about a sexy space naked zombie vampire woman who goes around and turns everyone else into actual withered space zombie vampire things by stealing their life force.
Well, now you say that, I'm interested.
Yeah, it's you should. And there's a very odd sequence with Patrick Stewart in it. I'll let you watch it. You can figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
If I get it,
also, it's very, very weird.
I also wrote down on my list 30 Days of Night, which I enjoyed.
I quite like 30 Days of Night. Some people seem to not like it. I don't know why. I quite like it.
It's got a good downbeat ending to it. It's good.
Vampires. Have you seen the sequel?
No.
Straight to DVD sequel, I wouldn't bother, really.
No, I bought the comics for a friend of the show, Ryan, Roy Dog Holland. I keep me in support of him because the comics are, I don't know the artist, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know about the comics. I wouldn't bother with the film.
I won't bother with the film. And also Daybreakers, which is another recent vampire film.
Which is, it's not a terrible film.
No, the idea, like, you know, the vampires have won. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vampires have won, so everyone's a vampire, which is interesting. It's got Willem Dafoe going batshit crazy, which is never a bad
thing. Neill.
Sam Neill going batshit crazy. Sam Neill's a bad guy, and he does he gives good bad guy.
He does.
And the end of the film is like a really kind of gory sequence at the end, which is just properly messed up with all the vampires in the lobby of a building, and shit goes down quite spectacularly. I won't spoil it, but I remember watching that cinema thinking, oh, it's some pretty messed up shit.
Yeah.
And also, I wrote down Lost Boys because they wear sunglasses and that's cool. From Dusk Till Dawn.
What, were they psychos?
They look like psychos? Is that what they look like? They were vampires.
Psychos do not explode when sunlight hits them. I don't give a fuck how crazy they are.
Yeah, from Dusk Till Dawn.
Of course,
The Blade trilogy.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.
Yes.
Yeah, and Love at First Bite.
Love at First Bite.
Which is a classic comedy horror film. No one agreeing with me there?
I've not seen it.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
It's got George Hamilton in it. It's brilliant.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
George Hamilton as Dracula. I mean, come on. He goes to New York to find his true love. It's brilliant.
I can't remember seeing it.
Get it watched. There's a great bit where Dracula goes out with his, like, he finds the woman who's like the reincarnation of his love, and he takes her out into a restaurant for a meal.
The second way to kill a vampire, count 3 silver bullets through the heart.
No, Rosenberg. That is a werewolf.
A werewolf? Really? Are you sure? No harm done. The man's all right. This was for a werewolf. No problem. Calm down. Take it easy. I'm a doctor. I know what I'm doing.
My favorite bit. I love that.
Must sort it out.
Yeah, crack on.
No, I had got a few others. Kronos, which is another different take on the vampire.
Guillermo del Toro.
Vampirism is essentially, it seems to be, it's just by a little bug thing. Rabid, which is Cronenberg, which is a kind of another weird vampire film in that she, it's like a thing comes out from under her armpit.
Why her armpit?
I don't know. It's because, what happens is she's in a bike accident and she gets like some sort of experimental plastic surgery, but it turns her into a vampire.
Armpit?
I don't know. It's Cronenberg, so it's just all kind of weird.
Yeah.
Night Watch and Night Watch 2, which is
Day Watch, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, Night Watch and Day Watch. That's actually right. It's not called Night Watch 2.
Night Watch 2, even nighter.
Night Watch with a Vengeance.
Thirst, which I've not seen, which is a Korean film.
It's a Korean film. Yeah, I've heard of that one, yeah.
Yeah, which I've heard is very good. Another film which I was going to mention, which just because it got it wrong, and it's a book that's been made into 3 films. One kind of
Twilight.
Got it right, but it's very old and it just doesn't hold up very well. It's also got it wrong twice, and that is I Am Legend. So
true that.
I Am Legend, which was very recently made into an awful film with Will Smith in it, and just gets vampires again, just gets it all wrong. Well, my real thing about it is that the book for me is one of my top 5 books.
It's a good
it
book.
One of the best books ever written, and I read it at least probably 2 or 3 times a year because it's a very short book, and you can just blast through it, and it's done. Yeah. And it's an amazing book, and it sets up the whole twist at the end of it is just about vampires. It's just great. It really turns vampires around when you read it as to what vampires are. But it was originally made way back in the 50s or the 60s with Vincent Price, The Last Man on Earth, and it's as closest to the book as any of them have come yet.
Yeah, because Omega Man?
So
was that the other one?
Omega Man gets it totally wrong.
Omega Man
just isn't even on the same page.
It's Charlton Heston getting funky,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, Charlton Heston, they're mutants, and it's not even... It's completely wrong. And I don't think the Omega Man even holds up as a separate film anymore. It's aged far too much.
Very badly.
The Vincent Price one has aged very poorly. And the problem with the Vincent Price one is it's very dull. They've tried as close as they can to make the film from the book, but there's just something missing from it. And for me, the book could make an excellent film because it's just got a lot in it. It seems very well ahead of its time for some reason. There's a lot of science in it and a lot of different stuff going on. The Will Smith version, I don't even know what they were thinking in that one. It's just, I don't even know what was going on in their head.
The CG zombie vampires just don't look very good. They don't look very scary.
No, and the whole title, I Am Legend, that is a very, that in the book is a very specific meaning.
Yeah.
I Am Legend is very specific as to what that means in the book, and they completely ruin it in the film. They ruin it. It's like they thought, the end of the film where they just say, he was forever a legend. It's just like, what? it's hideous, and I hate it. And it's just because I love the book so much, and it just gets it all wrong. And none of the three films have got it right, just for me, have got it right yet. The Last Man on Earth is as close as they've come. But I would love someone just to do it right. Not to me, obviously, but to the film.
Obviously, yeah. You know, I've been looking at the list of vampire films on Wikipedia. There's one there called Samurai Vampire Bikers from Hell.
Well, no, that sounds like a trauma film or something.
It might be. Apparently it's starring Scott Shaw. That looks amazing.
No, there's probably going to be a lot of people who've said we've missed out a crap ton of films, but to be honest with you, there is a lot of vampire
films. There's loads.
I can't talk about them all. I know Derek Williams, who's been on the show from Iconochromatic, he would be more into his obscurities.
He's like, what the hell, Derek? Jesus.
He mentioned a couple of films, Vampire's Kiss, Innocent Blood, Children of the Night. I've heard of Lair of the White Worm, but they're not films that I am overly familiar with. They're probably a bit too outside of my film comfort zone.
There's also the Chinese Ghost Story film, Mr. Vampire, which is a good one.
Mr. Vampire, which they're Chinese. Apparently those are the vampires. They're not really vampires. They're just like, I don't know.
Listen. He's called they're Mr. Like Vampire. How much more of a vampire do you want?
But they're more like zombies than vampires.
But he's called Mr. Vampire. Come on, Mr. Vampire.
Yes, Mr. Vampire.
He can't be any less of a vampire if he's called Mr. Vampire.
But the vampires aren't Mr. Vampire. The guy who kills the vampires is Mr. Vampire.
Shut up. Like you say, there's loads. There's Blood Rain we've not talked about.
There's Blood Rain because it's terrible.
Vampire Cop Ricky we've not talked about.
There's just too many.
They're a very popular thing for filmmakers, aren't they?
Mm.
Yeah.
Loads of them on there. Loads of them. But, you know, we've hopefully given you a few to have a look at. And if you want to watch some more, go to Wikipedia and do the work yourself, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's lethal watching!
Sorry, but Samurai Vampire Bikers from Hell sounds amazing.
That's piqued your curiosity.
Watch it.
This film follows lead character Alexander Hell as he rides his Harley-Davidson motorcycle out from the dark abyss to battle samurai sword-carrying vampires who are unleashing their vengeance on modern-day Hollywood.
I can't see that for the life of me.
Once on Earth, Hell joins forces with ancient Asian vampire Sir Katana. Oh, sounds amazing. Sounds amazing.
You get it. I'll
acquire that, because that sounds stunning. Music by DJ Acid X. Come on.
Yeah, a bit of acid house in there.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently the guy Scott Shaw who directed it was also in Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Yeah.
As cannon fodder, most likely.
Samurai Johnny Frankenstein.
Fuck.
Guns of El Chupacabra.
Wow.
Quest of the
Ninja. The one thing about vampires is you're going to get a because there are so popular, there's got to be a ton of dross.
Yeah.
There's got to be a ton.
I'll tell you what's not dross, though.
Rubbish.
Max Hell Frog Warrior. This guy's my new hero. This is amazing. We're going to do a Scott Shaw special next week now, I tell you.
What's his name? Scott Shaw?
Scott Shaw, yeah. Dude is amazing.
How are you spelling Shaw? S-H-A or
S-H-A-W? He's an American actor, author, journalist, film director.
Are you watching tonight, are you?
Yes, we are. Life the Watching later on.
Life the Watching, yeah. Do you think
mention that? That's a new thing that's been started up by, again, Mr. Derek Williams.
Yeah, because he's got his immense video collection.
I think it's going on at the minute right now, isn't he? So.
Probably, as we speak, I expect. Yeah, because you made us late.
I wonder why.
For fuck's sake. But well, yeah, life. Shut up. Live Thought Watching is on Google Hangouts, where if you're part of the gang, we'll invite you in to watch a film, a VHS film over the internet, because it's the 21st century. Last time, me and Martin and Derek and Ross Chuban Hendry of other podcast fames, what did we watch? Rotor. Which was a hoot.
Yes, and we've been doing it every hoot. Week, so even though you're listening it now, you've missed that one. For the next one. So.
Yeah. If you're listening now, it's actually going on now. And
it's actually going on now, one. So you won't have got that.
Yeah. So follow us on Twitter @ Evil Ninja Phil. Or...
Whose phone is that?
It's mine. Hang up.
For the fifth time.
I know, but it's okay because I can cut it out of my side of the recording because we're recording two channels, but I'm going to cut this out of the podcast now.
Clever.
Thank you. Yes, if you want to know when the next live thought watching is, you can follow us on Twitter at me @ EvilNinjaPhil.
Or me @ Martin Cobain.
Or me, and don't bother following Chubba Chup because he doesn't bother showing up on time.
Do you know what? He's always late. Hang up now. Bye.
Finally, we got rid of him.
I'm still here, you fuckers.
Where's that zebra? He's going to shoot your ass again. He's going to come in and mess you up. Yeah, so that was our legendary vampire special,
and the Scaretober end.
Yeah, yeah. The only I've done posts for on the website.
See you next year.
Yeah.
Actually, do you want to hear a little fact? It's actually my mum and dad's wedding anniversary on Monday.
Oh,
indeed. Although they terrifying. Did have to get married way before Halloween really came over here and became. Known, so
yeah, I'm sure we had Halloween then. Though.
When did they get married? Like BC?
Yeah,
no, in the '60s. In the '60s, it wasn't a big thing though. It wasn't then.
It was still around though, wasn't it? They still had Halloween.
No, it was All Hallows Eve. That it wasn't Halloween really.
Oh, so. Old Hallows Eve. Oh, I do apologise.
Yeah. It was more of a religious festival. You know?
Oh, was it? Was it really? Good. I bet it was boring as hell.
Probably. And then the Americans came over with all the trick and treating and all that.
Yeah, I say welcome. I love Halloween. Halloween's awesome.
Meh.
Meh.
Meh. Annoying.
Meh. Meh. Screw a lot of you. screw you guys, well, yeah?
Let's end up there now. Come on.
Yeah, we'll be back with something next time. I don't know what we're going to do. November.
Something about films.
Yeah.
Martin can decide.
Martin, let us know.
Let's do... And I think we should cut it there.
Yeah.
Bye.
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 Lethal Watching was brought to you by Phil Doyle and Gerard Boyle.
And Martin Cobain.
In association with abadeducation.com.
that don't understand. No one believe it, put it in our hands. Gotta stop those creatures, send them back to hell. Or there's no tomorrow, no stay by the bell. There's no place to run, nowhere to hide. Now it's time to see what you got inside. No evil will escape by sight. Get a monster smart, gonna jam tonight. This ain't Halloween or some phony deal. They be playing for keeps, they be playing for real. No one's darkness spread all across the land. We're the only ones left to make a stand. We don't wanna hide with the walking dead. So we gotta kick some monster butt instead. And you'll never see such a ghastly sight when the monster squad sees the world's in.